All right. Awesome. 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 What do you think? What do you think? Come on. Give it up again for the serve day. Y'all didn't know we had a department we called Ghostbusters around here, did you? Anyway, that was a team that was serving the Habitat for Humanity, and they had no idea what they were in for. But just phenomenal job. You guys are really making a difference. You hear us say that around here, making a difference, because that's one of the four things that we do here. We basically have narrowed, really, and if you look at the Great Commission, it comes down to four things I believe God's called us to do and that God desires for us. And so that's our desire for you, and that is, number one, that you know God, and number two, that you find freedom. Number three is that you'll discover purpose. And number four, now that we know what we're here for and what we're doing, let's go out and number four, make a difference. And so good job to everybody that was involved in our serve day. So excited about that. Just some great contacts of, I could just stand here for a while and just kind of elaborate on what all happened yesterday. But I believe there was a great impact that happened. In fact, I will say one little thing that I thought was really interesting. The team that went out to the greenways and passing out water, I understand they passed out, I think, hundreds of bottles of water and got to interact with people. And so there was some water still in a couple of coolers that were left there. And so Pastor Steve felt, well, we'll just leave these here. And with our sign on it saying, courtesy of Cross Point, enjoy some water. And so someone came along after that. In fact, they went back later and all the water was gone. But there was somebody that actually took a picture and posted it on Facebook and said, "This, wow, I've never seen anyone do this before. Thanks, Crosspoint, for the water." And so you just never know what kind of an impact you're making. And so I just want to say good job. Excited for even better and more exciting things yet to come. The best is yet to come. Right, everybody? So I'm really excited about this part of our series today, part six we're in with our life story series, and so thankful for Jordan, who has become a part of our Crosspoint team, has went through the growth track like you all saw, and I encourage everyone, if you haven't went through that, to get on the wheel, you know, ride that thing out, and just get in here and get on the dream team and begin serving. He's doing a phenomenal job. He serves on multiple teams, I think. He does the worship team. He does the landscaping team, prayer team, whatever else we can get him to do around here. And I worded that wrong, didn't I? We don't want to just do what we want for you. We want what you want, right? What you've dreamed of. Anyway, y'all know the program. But really thankful for Jordan, who I will tell you this. We do small groups around here, and I have an early morning men's group that meets at 6 a.m. Everybody say 6 a.m.? Y'all never heard that number before, have you? But these guys meet faithfully for breakfast and just discuss the word. Great group of guys. And as we're meeting, I just kind of identified that there's some depth to this guy, Jordan. When he shares, he's kind of a quiet guy, okay? But, you know, still waters run deep, right? And so when he shares, you know, you could just hear just point on, just wisdom. And so as I was praying over who to ask to speak during this series, I felt really impressed to have Jordan come and share with you. And we've met a couple times as we're discussing his message. And I'm telling you, he's got a word that's powerful. Powerful for you today, and so I'm just so thankful for him, and so without taking any more of his time, let me just get you to give a warm welcome to Jordan Garza as he comes. Come on, everybody, give it up.
Thank you very much for that kind introduction. Hello, everyone. I want to start off by saying how grateful I am for this opportunity. Like Pastor said, initially when he asked me, I was kind of caught off guard when he asked me to speak for this series. My first initial thought was like, you know who you're talking to, right? Like, it's me, Jordan, like the really quiet guy who sits off to the side, like he doesn't really say much, and I'm very soft-spoken. And then he goes on to say, like, I know you're quieter, but I feel like God has placed you on my heart to speak this morning. And then my next thought was, oh, really? Okay, I see what you're doing here. Yeah. Trying to get me out of my comfort zone. Okay, yeah. We're going to have a talk later. So I took a week to pray about it, and here I am. So, but I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity. We have a great pastor. His heart is definitely after God. He's a willing vessel, and he preaches amazing sermons every Sunday. So to be up here is just an honor. This morning, I'm going to talk about a little bit about myself and my story and what God has done in a pretty big way. But first, I'd like to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and this time that we get to come together. We're grateful for the worship that we had, and we're grateful for this message that you've prepared. We pray that you would begin to mold our hearts this morning and to shape us into the men and women that you are calling us to be, Father. We love you, and we're grateful for you and who you are and everything that you've done in our life and everything that you will do in our life. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So, for those of you who don't know, I am originally from Chesterton, Indiana, which is on the southern tip of Lake Michigan, so it's about a 12-hour drive from here. And my story is I pretty much grew up in church. At a young age, my family took us, me and my siblings, to church when I was about 5. And then when I turned about 7 was when I gave my life to the Lord. I remember that the setting was pretty similar to what we have here at Crosspoint. I grew up in an Assemblies of God church. So it was a Sunday night of worship, and the lights were down low. There was a band on stage playing, and it was just one of those nights where you could just really feel the presence of God. So I remember I was standing at my seat, and I was looking up, and I was singing the song that was playing, and I just broke down into tears. And like I knew, like, I could feel a different presence that like I've never felt before, and I felt it on my heart that it was God, and he was calling me to give my life to him. So I started inching my way past my dad, and my mom's at the end, and she looks down at me, and she goes, and she realized I'm crying, so she grabs me, and she looks at me, and she's like, "Why are you crying?" And I'm like, "I'm trying to make my way up to the altar and give my life to the Lord, and you're ruining the moment here. Like, what do you mean why I'm crying?" Well, later I found out that she thought my dad had yelled at me, and that's why I was crying. Like, I was trying to make my way to the bathroom, but no, nothing could ruin that moment. That's a moment that is priceless and you'll remember forever. So, but as time went on, my family and I, we got more and more involved in the church. We were there. It seemed pretty much like every day of the week we were doing something. And while I'm blessed to have this life, it's easy to look back at my life and see how my story, how God has been working in that so intricately. And I want to open up and share with you how, while I'm blessed with this life, that God, I chose to live another life that was more secretive. Back in the 7th grade, a friend of mine introduced me to pornography. And at that young of an age, you can imagine what something like that can do to a child's mind. It wasn't too long afterwards that I got hooked on it. Like, it was consuming me. And it became a daily ritual for me of looking at those websites. And it was something that I've struggled with for a very long time. Participating in a struggle is difficult. It's not something that you might do voluntarily. It's easy to participate in these momentary things that satisfy you, but in reality, they don't satisfy you. They only give you a little bit of joy. And then in your eyes, you think that becomes important to you and it becomes a priority in your life when it shouldn't be a priority. And so it's easy to have that as an idol in your life and to jumble up what should be important or a priority in your life. But initially, I didn't think of this as a problem, or I didn't think of this as an addiction. I don't know, I guess I was just too young for that. I didn't think of it as something good or bad, and looking back at it now, like, this is just a veil that I knew that the devil was trying to throw over my eyes, telling me and speaking to me, it's okay, like, you can do this, like, it's not wrong, but it was, and The Bible calls the devil the father of lies, and he wants you to think that it's okay to indulge in the sinful nature that we are all born with. But in reality, this holds true for any type of struggle, whether it's alcoholism or pornography, substance abuse or food. There are many different types of addictions out there, and even though they all might look different, in the end, the outcome is all the same, that they lead to a lifestyle of spiritual death. But going back to this sinful nature that we have, Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. This is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but it's the evil that I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing. See, because the devil, he's smart. He likes to play off of the fact that inherently we're sinful in nature. And he takes this and uses it to his advantage. For a long time, this was like the story of my life. Like, I wanted to quit. I wanted nothing more than to get free of the struggle and not have to deal with it on a daily basis. But it just wasn't happening. And I don't know what this might look like in your life or if God is speaking to you. Like, I know that it can be difficult and you might have been struggling with something or there might be something that you're trying to get through and just not being able to come through it. Fast forwarding a little bit into my junior year in high school, this was a time where I kind of averted my tactics and trying to fill my time up with anything I can do in order to avoid my struggle. So I was spending a lot of time at school. I was playing in the orchestra. I was on the high school soccer team. I was out with friends as much as I could be, all while I was still attending church numerous times a week. And during this time in my life, it was so easy to just put up that wall and hide behind. When people would ask me how I'm doing, I'd say, I'm doing great. Like, it's so easy to just put up that wall and hide what's going on in your life or hide, like, everything. So needless to say that that tactic didn't work either. And then there was one night in particular that came along. I remember I was sitting in my bedroom. I was extremely frustrated with myself. It was a rough day as far as not being able to turn away from temptation. And I remember emotionally, I was really upset. I was angry. Mentally, I kept saying how much I hated myself for being like this. I couldn't understand why I was like that and why I couldn't stop. And spiritually, I was questioning God and if he was real or if he was there or if he even cared about me. So that time in my life, it was a really rough time. And I want you guys to know that we are fighting a war that is internal and versus our sinful nature, but we are fighting a spiritual war as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says that our struggles are not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So looking at this and the situation that I was in, it's not that I was struggling against those websites, or you're fighting against a bottle or a pill or a cigarette or whatever it may look like. You're not fighting that. You're fighting a spiritual war that the devil is trying to take your life away from God, who's the one who's given us this life. There was a period in my life that year, that day in particular, but the days leading up to it, where I wasn't myself, and I could feel that I wasn't who God was calling me to be. And looking back at my life, I could see that spiritually I was dying in that time of my life. Anyone who knows me knows that I've always got a smile on my face. I've always got a word of encouragement to give. I'm a very optimistic person. It's funny because my wife will get annoyed with me sometimes with how positive I am. But during that time in my life, that wasn't me. And I know that the devil was trying to lead me down a path that God wasn't calling me to go down. So going back to that night, after some time, I decided to open up my Bible. And I don't know why I had that calling on my heart or why I had that inkling, but I had this urge to just open up my Bible. So as I was doing so, I was talking to God and asking him to speak to me somehow that night. Show me an answer, speak to me, tell me what I need to do. Well, ask and you will receive, right? Later that night, after reading through some different verses, I came across a specific verse in James, and after reading through it, I knew that that's what God was calling me to do. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And after reading through that, my first initial thought was, I know this is what I need to do. But as quickly as that thought came in, 1,000 other thoughts came into my head telling me that this isn't what I was supposed to do, that it's foolishness to open up to someone about your struggling. Like, people are going to know what you're going through. People are going to see that you're struggling here. Like, it's embarrassing. You shouldn't let it out. You should conceal it and try and get through it on your own. But I knew in the end what God was speaking to me and what I needed to do. So that next day, I got in touch with my youth pastor and asked if we could meet sometime that week to speak. So he agreed, and a few days later, we met, and I had one of the hardest conversations I've ever had in my life. During that time, I'm already a quiet individual, so trying to speak about something that I've never vocalized or didn't want to vocalize was 10 times harder. So it was a long conversation for me on my part trying to get it out, but it was a conversation that needed to be done. So finally, after what it felt like to be an hour, I finally got it all out and got it to my youth pastor. And I remember he was just looking at me and he just wrapped me in his arms and he gave me a hug and told me how proud of me he was. He told me that it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to open up about something like that, and that he was proud of me. He told me that he was there for me, and throughout the period of time that he was with me, he was there for me, helping me through this. And hearing his words of confirmation and through his prayer that day, it felt so relieving just to get it off my chest and be able to shed light on this area of darkness that was in my life. So after a little bit of more conversation, I asked if I could open up to our youth group about it. And he said, yeah. So that following Wednesday, I sat amongst all my peers, and I remember I was really anxious. I thought I'd be a little more at ease, but I was still just as nervous. I remember I was sweating and I was just like a little like tapping my foot, you know, those anxious tendencies. And our youth pastor prayed after he gave the message, and he's like, there's someone here who wants to share something. And everyone's like looking around, they're like, who's opening up? And that's what I felt like. So I'm like, well, it's me. And they're all like, oh, okay. So needless to say, it was just as hard opening up to them as it was opening up to my youth pastor a few days beforehand. But afterwards, I felt better. I felt not as heavy. Like I broke through those fears and anxieties of speaking to my youth pastor and to my peers in my youth group. And I was able to open up to them. And just through them, I felt the overwhelming presence of God. Just, I felt so comforted. I didn't feel judged or I didn't feel like embarrassed or anything, but they hugged me. They prayed for me. They were also supportive of me in that time. And I just knew like this was that turning point in my life where God was saying, okay, this was the path that you're going on, but I'm picking you up and I'm placing you on the path that I've designed for you. So today I'm here to let you all know that there is hope. that no matter what the struggle is that you're going through, no matter how strong you may feel that it is on you, or how strong the grasp is you feel is on you, that the strength that Jesus has and that he provides for you will always be stronger, without no doubt about it. But this morning, I'm going to give you 3 points that the Lord presented to me to help me get through my addiction. The first being to humble yourself. Overcoming these struggles or an addiction cannot be done on your own. I've tried for a long time to overcome it on my own, and I remember every time I just set myself up for failure. I tried on my own will, and it just took me down this path to where I didn't like who I was, and it's not a good place that you want to go. But with the Lord's help, his strength, and his guidance, he was able to help me through it, and I know that he could help you through it as well. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "To humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." It's important to remember that these struggles that we carry and these burdens that we have are not our own to carry. Christ was the one who came to this earth. He took the weight of every temptation or every struggle, the weight of all the sin in this world, and he took it and died for us on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go through the struggle anymore. Right. So laying down our burdens at the foot of the cross and genuinely repenting for the sins that we've been committing is the first step to humbling yourself and giving what it is that you've been carrying to God. I know carrying this addiction was an unnecessary burden throughout my life, and it was hurting my relationship with others around me, but more importantly, it was hurting my relationship with God. I know I wasn't on the right path that he had called me to be. I know I wasn't growing with him spiritually. I was just hiding behind my walls, trying to protect myself or my image and keeping myself safe. But one thing that I really want to point out is talking through whatever it is with God. I know it kind of sounds silly, but being able to talk and vocalize it out loud is really important and it's really helpful. I know for a long time I just pictured him as a figure up in heaven that looks down at us. But as I grew in my relationship with him over these past few years, I realized that that's not the case, that he's right here with me, going through my struggle with me. He's helping me. He's guiding my every step. He's there watching over us and protecting us. Like, he's there in the good times. He's there in our times of struggle, that he doesn't leave us and we're all by ourselves, but he's there watching over us in every situation that we go through. My next point I want to bring up is to have an accountability partner. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says that whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Having someone there to help you and to talk to you through what you're going through, it was extremely helpful. For me in high school, I had my youth pastor and a few friends in my youth group. In college, I had my roommate, Romeo, who has been my best friend for many, many years, so I love you, man. Shout out. But having someone there on a weekly basis to talk to you and to ask you how you're doing, or even in college, I roomed with him, so he was there every day, really helped me to keep my thoughts on God and to keep myself on the track that he had laid out for me. I want to pull up the verse in James chapter 5, verse 16 again. That says that to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And this verse is just a really key verse in changing the direction of my path. And I want you to know that this verse was lived out in my life. Like, there is so much power and so much truth in this verse that helped me come through it, through the people that God had placed in my life to help me. I know there was another time in our undergraduate, my wife Laura, she's studying social work, and she, for one of her classes, had an opportunity to go to an AA meeting. So I went with her and a few of her friends in one of her classes, and to hear what those men were speaking about and how open and honest they were with the group, it was encouraging. Like, it was really inspiring to hear how truthful they were with both themselves, but with others in the room as well. And that was just another confirmation that I was on the right path and I was doing what it was that God was calling me to do. I was encouraged by going and attending that meeting, and another verse that I want to bring up is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. It says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And even if one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. This was another verse that my roommate and I, that he brought up to me, and it was really encouraging to know that he was there and that he was there to help me and to lift me up when they're in my times of weakness. But it also brings up the idea that we are people who are created to be in a relationship with one another. Having the love and support of your friends and your family, of fellow Christians, is advantageous because when there are times of weakness or you're in times of struggle, like, you have your friends and family and other people there to help lift you up and strengthen you and encourage you to not fall back into that, whatever you're struggling with. This is one reason why I like the idea of being in a small group. That's an easy place to build relationships, to build friendships with other people. And through those friendships, you can gain an accountability partner to help you with whatever it is that you might be struggling with. This church, the people in it, like, they've made me feel so welcomed. I know that it's filled with people who want to see you grow in your relationship with God. But that which is the most important relationship that you should be in, by being on track with God, will allow you to be in constant companionship with Him, with His Son, and the Holy Spirit. But now for my final point, I want to encourage you to live a disciplined life. I don't know, like, when I think of the word discipline, like, negative connotations come up, and everyone's thinking, well, who likes to be disciplined? Like, who wants that? But in this, it's a good type of discipline, so don't worry. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 through 23, it says, "For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all of your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them, and the cords of their sins hold them fast." Not having a disciplined life is what took me down the wrong path. Like, I was led astray by my own, foolishness, my lack of good sense. But a good example to look at of someone who is disciplined is our Lord Jesus Christ. For a period of time when He was here on this earth, He went into the wilderness and He fasted for 40 days. And during this time, He spent time with God, He meditated, He spent time in prayer, and He denied His body of food and water. And those are things that our physical body needs. So on His return, He was approached by the devil, and in this state of weakness physically, the devil tempted Him three separate times, offering Him different things to appeal to different temptations that we might face. And each and every time the devil tempted Him, he relied on the strength from God. He spiritually, he was being strong in this time of physical weakness. And reading through this, this verse of scripture was really encouraging to know that he who did this lives inside of us, so in turn, we have the strength to do it as well. I want to bring up a book by the name of Celebration of Discipline. It's by Richard Foster. We had to read it in our undergraduate, and I remember there were a lot of students complaining about it around campus, saying, oh, I hate this book, or it's so boring. And it kind of caught everyone off guard, because I liked it, and I know Laura really enjoyed it. And it was a really good book that aided us in our relationship with God. So if you've never read it, I encourage you to get it and read it. It's called The Celebration of Discipline. But it's broken up into three different areas of discipline. There's inward, there's outward, and then there's corporate. And within each of these areas, there are corresponding disciplines. And to just name a few, there's meditation, there's prayer, there's fasting, studying, and confession. All these are areas of discipline that I know I personally need to be practicing. But having the people in my life to encourage me and to ask me every day how I was doing was really encouraging me. And every day I was encouraged to read. I was encouraged to spend time with God. And during that time was when I got to know who God really was. I got to build in my relationship with him. And the more time I spent with him, the more time I got to know him. And the more time I got to know him, the deeper and deeper in love that I felt with him. And then falling in love with someone, you know, you don't want to do anything to hurt them. You want to be obedient to them. You want to obey them. You don't want to do anything to hurt them. So I don't know what it is that God has placed on your heart this morning. I don't know if it's something that you might personally have been struggling with for a long time, or I don't know if it's someone that you know in your life that is struggling with something that God has placed on your heart. But whatever it may be, I want you to know that there is freedom waiting for you. I want to encourage you that there is. I don't want you to be ashamed or embarrassed if you've gone astray or if you are struggling with something. The Bible says, like sheep, that we've all gone astray. And like the good shepherd he is, he comes to find that one lost sheep that might be out there. You have a heavenly Father who loves you and is welcoming you home. I'm going to end right now with kind of a visual of what I've spoken about. And then afterwards, Pastor can come up and end us in prayer.
thank Jordan for a powerful, powerful message today. But I'm so thankful to a God who loves us. I was thinking as we were watching that video, He is the lifter of our head. He's the one that comes and He puts His robe of righteousness on us. That's His righteousness, not our righteousness. So when we haven't done the right things, we haven't made the right choices, and it's taken us to a place where God never meant us to be, God steps in to our place with His righteousness, and we receive from Him, not by anything we've done, but by what all He has done. He took our sins upon Him, went to the cross, gave His life for us, so that He could give us His robe of righteousness and clothe us and cover us, so that we can stand in position with our Father in a right position. I was praying this morning, and it occurred to me that we stand before God perfect. Perfect. You can say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, guess what? Newsflash, none of us are. None of us are. But He is. And when we accept Him into our life, as our Lord and our Savior, He puts His coat, His cloak over us, His righteousness, and we stand in position perfect through His Son. Isn't that wonderful good news, everybody? Come on. That's wonderful good news. I'd like us to bow our heads for just a moment. Perhaps you're here today and what was shared really connected with you. May not be this specific area, but maybe there's some area. I think the enemy knows what our spot is, what our weakness is, and he's been hanging around as he identifies what that is, and that's what he works on. But I just want you to know, as we sung this morning, God has the power to break every chain and to set you free. But it all begins, there was 3 points shared today, but it all begins with that first point of humbling yourself, that place where you come and you repent. Repentance simply means we turn from our way to God's way. We turn from ourselves, our own strength, our own means, and we turn to Him. And I want to invite you this morning. Perhaps you need to come to Christ. Maybe it's the first time, or maybe it's rededication. Maybe you just need to return to Him. You know, you haven't been living the life that God intended you to live. But I want to help lead you in a prayer today of just turning it over to Him. That place of surrender, that place of inviting Him in. And so I want to help lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I simply want to lead you in a prayer. But if you're here today and you know that you need to pray this prayer, would you just simply raise your hand right now? God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, anybody else? Yes. That you're saying, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you include me in that prayer? Yes. So proud. All right, let me help you with this prayer. Let it be your prayer, your faith. I'm just helping you with the words. Simply pray a prayer like this. In fact, let's let everyone, would you all join in this prayer just to support those that need to really pray this prayer? Come on, together, let's say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. I invite you to come in and be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the king of all the kingdoms of my heart, every area. I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross, for paying for my sins, for paying for my mistakes, for paying for all the wrong choices. Thank you for paying my debt so I wouldn't have to. Today I choose you. I invite you in. I accept your payment for me by faith. I confess you as Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Today I accept you. Make me brand new on the inside. Fill me with your Spirit to give me the power to follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer this morning and prayed it. Lord, I thank you for the gift of life that comes through Jesus, and I thank you for the best choice that these people have ever made. It's the best choice that they'll ever make. I thank you for that today, God. I also pray for them, Lord. I pray, God, that you would cause them, Lord, to take the next steps, find an accountability partner, live a disciplined life. Lord, I pray, God, that you, oh Lord, would just strengthen us as we continue to follow Christ. God, remind us all, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. There's none perfect, no, not one, but only you, Lord. But Lord, you've given us one another to share one another's burdens, to pray for one another. And I pray that you, as a church, that we as a church would continue to grow together as a family, praying for one another, helping one another, encouraging one another, and yes, going out and rescuing that one who is yet to hear. God, I thank you for freedom in this house today. And Lord, for every bondage, for every addiction, for every stronghold, in the mighty name of Jesus, we break that off of them. In the name of Jesus, we declare, as it's declared in this message, that you are greater. Greater is your power. Greater is your love. And we break the chains of bondage off of every person, Lord, every stronghold. We declare that we are the Lord's. God, and it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all of our strength, we love you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, give me praise. Give me praise.